Greetings, Saints. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we praise you and we thank you for this opportunity for us to come together and study your word. And Lord, we pray earnestly, Lord, that you will bless everyone that hears this, Lord, to escape the falling away. Thank you so much, Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're going to continue here with 1 Corinthians 15 and 1. Now I make known unto you, brethren, so he's definitely talking to Christians here, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received. And so they're obviously Christians. Wherein also you stand, and by which also ye are saved. Literally, the word is being saved right here. By which also ye are being saved. If you hold fast, there's that condition. Saved if? Well, what about the unconditional eternal security? And ultimate reconciliation and all the other doctrines out there that basically don't take the ifs out, really. But if you hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except you believed in vain. So there are people who believe and are Christians, but they don't hold fast to the word. And so they end up believing in vain, because it's important what you believe about the word. It's important that you only believe what thus saith the Lord, because these are the words of eternal life, as we have seen. And there's only one seed, which is the seed of the scriptures, that can recreate in you the real true Christ, who God considers to be your fruit. Remember the parable of the sower, okay? So it's very important that you hold fast the word which they preached. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. Many have another Jesus because the men that are leading them don't hold fast to the word. There's only one word that will do it, and that is the seed of Jesus Christ, the sower. And it brought forth in one out of four groups, 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit of Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to know what the fruit looks like, look at Jesus. If you say you abide in him, you must walk as he walked. He is our demonstration. Not modern-day preachers. These are all fallen away from the truth. So we have to hold fast the confession of our hope that it waver not also. When we got to endure to the end to be saved, right? So Colossians 1 somewhat repeats this in saying in verse 21, and you, being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind and in your evil works, obviously speaking to Christians, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Remember, we discovered that reconciled is a word, apokatalasso, which means to exchange completely. And it's no more I that live, it's Christ who lives in me. You are the minister of reconciliation. You cause the reconciliation to come to pass, the exchange to come to pass. By your faith and by your confession, you cause this reconciliation to come to pass. Faith without works is dead. When you have faith, you walk it out, you talk it out, you agree with it. And so that's what causes the reconciliation to continue. We understand that the exchange, of course, is the life of Christ for our life. Fruit is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Fruit is the 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit of the word sown in the heart, as the parable of the sower shows us. Well, In other words, we consider it done. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. When you believe you received something, you can confess it, right? And that agrees with this verse, verse 22. Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him, if so be that you continue in the faith. Not any faith, as we can see. It's the faith of the true gospel. It's the faith in the true word, in the true promises. Religions have fallen far short of this, and that's the reason they're not producing people who walk in the steps of Jesus. And they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such turn away. The apostle knew very clearly what was going to happen. He said, turn away from them. If so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Hope means firm expectation of the gospel. Not moved away from the good news which you heard, which was preached in all creation under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister. Oh, praise God. Okay, so, you know, it's not the salvation of your soul is not the beginning of your faith. It's the end of your faith, as we studied last time. Okay? Now, in Galatians chapter 3, I'm going to start reading in verse 16. It says, now to Abraham were the promises spoken, and to his seed. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. So the promises were spoken to Abraham and his one seed, and to thy seed, which is Christ. The promises were not spoken to you outside of Christ. They were spoken to you if you abide in Christ. But as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. Now this I say, a covenant confirmed beforehand by God, the law, which came 430 years after, does not annul. Disannul is an old King James meaning that means annul. Okay, so the law came 430 years after the promise to Abraham, and it does not annul it, so as to make the promise of none effect. It does not annul it. The promise to Abraham and to Jesus are still in effect. It's the law that's not still in effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it's no more of promise. But God hath granted it to Abraham by promise. What then is the law? Listen carefully. It was added because of transgressions. So what was the main covenant that promised to Abraham? The law was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise hath been made. Did you see that? The law is over. It's over. It says it was added because of transgressions, and until the seed, which he just told you was Christ, should come to whom the promise hath been made. And it was ordained through angels by the hand of a mediator. Okay, now notice, the promise, the law is of none effect, okay? It's simply a type and a shadow, as the Bible clearly says, of the greater things which are to come and the greater covenant which took its place. When he said old covenant, he meant something that was passing away, as the Bible tells us, and something new that came. Okay, so the promise was to Abraham and to his seed when he came, and that is Christ. And so, therefore, how do we appropriate this blessing? Well, obviously, we have to be in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you don't have the blessing. So, what is this in Christ? Okay? Okay, let's go to 1 John chapter 5, and I'm going to read 10 and 11 to you. Well, excuse me, 10 through 12. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in him. Believeth on the Son of God. The Bible says, as the Scripture hath said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believed on him were to receive. And, you know, when we believe on him, as the Scripture hath said, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in him. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he hath not believed in the witness that God hath borne concerning his Son. Okay, so concerning the Son, what he came to do, what was his sacrifice, what was the provision that he left us as heirs, all these things, if they're changing this, they're calling God a liar. And they're doing it, because they're not turning out people that look like Jesus Christ. And we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. And since they're not turning out people that look like Jesus Christ, they're not sowing the right seed. It's their seed, not God's seed. God's seed is his witness that he bore concerning his Son. Verse 11. And the witness is this, that God gave unto us eternal life. Whoa, there it is. And this life is in his Son. He didn't put eternal life in your hand. It's not a gift put in your hand. It's in Christ. That's where he put the gift. And to his seed, which is Christ. The promise was made to Christ, not you. It is only to you if you abide in his Son. The Bible says, as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Life comes from abiding in Jesus Christ. Eternal life is, people say, well, God's given me eternal life. He can't take it back. Unconditional eternal security. No, he did not do that. He gave it to Christ. If you don't abide in Christ, you don't have it. And that's why people fall away, because they think they've got something, and that's all they need to do. You know, shake a preacher's hand, accept Jesus, so on and so forth. That's all I need to do. No, you have to abide in Christ. And guess what? If you're in Christ, what will you be doing? What Christ does. We are called the body of Christ. Who lives in the body of Christ? He does. Now, it's a word of faith, I understand, because many people don't abide in Christ. They don't abide in his body, doing his works, thinking his thoughts, doing his deeds, appropriating his blessings, and so on. So God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. We have to abide in the Son. He that hath the Son hath the life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not the life. And this is a constant thing. It's not a one-time thing. 2 John 9 says, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. So you see, you can get saved. You can have a born-again spirit, but then walk on believing some other word than the teaching of Christ or the teaching of his apostles whom he taught. You don't have God. Sorry, you lost him. Go back, get into the Word of God. Once again, confirm what he says. Believe what he says. men have, you know, there's 40-something thousand denominations today, and they can't all be right. Only one thing we know is right, and that is the Word of God. He hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching. In the teaching. So to abide in Christ is to abide in teaching, so you can have God, right? The same hath both the Father and the Son. And if one cometh unto you and bringeth not this teaching, receive him not into your house, and give him no greeting. For he that giveth him greeting partaketh in his evil works. I tell you, you better pay attention to this now, okay? So, in Christ is the only place we can claim the eternal life. By the way, your eternal life is Jesus Christ. It's his nature in you. That is eternal life. In chapter 2, 4, it says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. So people make all kinds of excuses for not keeping the commandments. Eternal security is one of them. You can't be lost even though you don't keep his commandments. And by the way, if you're keeping his commandments, you would not be in a dead church in the first place that doesn't have the power of God and filled with the Holy Spirit. You wouldn't be there, okay? That keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily hath the love of God been perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him, which is where all of your provision is. All of your provision is in him. You can't claim it any other place than abiding in him. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Wow. Now, we just have to believe what God said, the witness that God gave concerning his son. We don't have to believe anything else. Anybody that teaches anything else, you're not even supposed to have anything to do with them, right? Now, didn't Jesus say the exact same thing in John 15? Let's read that, John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, in other words, so you can get in him to begin with. But what he's watching to see is, are you going to bear fruit? Because if you're in him, you should be bearing his fruit, right? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. Now, are we watching this happen or what? This faction movement going on around the world? He is snatching people out of there. They get offended for nothing, and then they're gone. They're being snatched out, just like he said he would do with the tares at the end of time. It's the exact same thing. So that the righteous shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. And he gathers out of his kingdom them that cause offense, right? So every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away, taken out of him. Now, if that's not a falling away, I don't know what it is. If you're in him and then you're out of him, that's a falling away. And every branch that beareth fruit, and it's the fruit of Christ. Remember, the fruit was the fruit of the seed that Jesus, the sower, sowed into hearts. It's not you going out and saving another soul and all that. That's ridiculous. Just read it. It's the fruit of the seed that Jesus sowed, which is the Word of God. The most important thing you can do is put the Word of God in your heart. If you don't do that, you're going to fall away. You have to feed the spiritual man, who is Jesus Christ in you. You have to feed him, and he only lives on the Word of God and the breath of the Holy Spirit. Every branch that beareth fruit, he pruneth it. That's what it says in the original. He pruneth it. Now, pruning is painful sometimes, but if you're sapping the strength that comes from Jesus Christ in putting it in too many other things like burying your talent in the earth, if you're doing that, he's going to cut some things off from you. Some people make idols and they're sapping their strength. they make idols, and God has to cut off their idols. He has to judge their idols. Notice, in the Bible, God judged people's idols. Don't make an idol out of your wife, your mom, your dad, any of your family, your church, your preacher. Don't make an idol. Anything that you make an idol, He will cut it off, because it's sapping the strength that belongs only to the Son. He pruneth it, that it may bear more fruit. You don't want to lose a husband or wife because you've made a god out of them, and they're ruling your life and your time. Now, we have rules in the Scriptures. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of the man is Christ. That's obeying Christ. That's abiding in Christ. But you don't want to make them your god. I mean, everything has to be around them. Everything. You know, you have a relationship with the Lord. And the most important thing for you to do is obey His word, or else you don't abide in Him, just as we saw. Okay? And you can obey His word when you walk by faith and you have the good confession, the reconciliation. We are ministers of this reconciliation. We make this exchange happen. When we preach the gospel to other people, we make this exchange happen in them. They repent of the old man, and the new man begins to come in. First comes the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And then as you obey that Spirit, the soul of Jesus Christ. And if you've obeyed the soul, you will have a new body. If you've obeyed in the soul, you'll have a new body. All right. So He prunes you so you can bear more fruit. If you waste your time by not bearing fruit, of course you're thrown out, spewed out of the body of Christ. You're rejected. That's what He said. Let's don't lose track of what we just read and what He just said, okay? Already, you are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. So it's the word that cleans you up. It's the being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed into what? Into Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're coming into His image. He's recreating Christ in the earth, the body of Christ. The body of Christ does not look like modern Christians today. That's not the body of Christ. Come out from among them and be separate. You are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. There it is. Now, if you don't do this, you're cast forth as a branch. Abide in me, and I in you. Now, how do you put Jesus in you? The Word. He is the Word made flesh. He is the manna that came down out of heaven that gives life to the world. This Word is the manna. Eat the Word. You want to bear fruit quickly? Eat more of the Word. And repent of your old life. Right? There has to be a reconciliation. An exchange. You have to give up something to get something. You have to lose your life to gain your life, Jesus said. Well, that's a condition. People ignore that condition. You want more of Jesus' life? You had to have less of your life. They occupy the same territory. Right? So you have to give up something to get something. As the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, that just makes good sense. If it's not connected to the trunk or the vine, it's not going to bear fruit. It's going to die. If you don't stay connected to the Lord because you're refusing to bear the fruit and act on the word, well, then you're broken off. You might be sitting on a pew, but it won't make any difference. You're still broken off. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, in Him, so neither can ye except ye abide in me. I'm the true vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. You want to bear more fruit? This is the way to do it. Put the word of God in your heart, and abide in him by keeping his commandments. And you can keep his commandments because God will give you grace for faith. You believe the reconciliation that happened at the cross. You believe it's done. You accept it as done. And because you believe that, God will empower you to bear fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Absolutely. If we don't abide in Him, we can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, notice the whole thing is talking about this. In me, in the vine, he is cast forth as a branch. Not that he wasn't there to begin with. Some people say if a person falls away, he never was saved in the first place. False. We're seeing that that's true. This whole text is saying that's a lie. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, there it is. My words abide in you. That's him in you, and you in him, right? Ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Wow. Now, do you know a lot of people that don't get any prayers answered? What's the problem? He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will. In other words, if this happens, your will is changed. It's in agreement with God. It's an agreement with His Word. How can two walk together except they be agreed? We read the Scriptures in order to come into agreement with Him so that everything we ask is according to His will, and we receive it. He wants us to bear fruit like this. Ask whatsoever you will, it shall be done unto you. So these are people with power. These are people whose prayer has power to deliver, to save, to provide. And if you don't have enough power, maybe you should spend more time putting His Word in you, because faith cometh of hearing and hearing by the Word, right? Spend more time putting the Word in you. You know, there's an uncertainty when you don't know God's will. There's an uncertainty. It's hard to have faith if you don't know something's God's will. So you become convinced of what God's will is by watching Jesus, watching His disciples, reading about them. You see, obviously, it's God's will to heal, to deliver His people. You can see that's very obvious. To save, to heal, to deliver. It's His, you know, you become convinced of that when you put the Word in you. When you put the Word in you, according to the parable of the sower, you can bear fruit of Jesus Christ, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Ask whatever you will. What happens when you put the Word in you? It changes your will. He works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. That's how you get set free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed, because He gives you His will. See, when you have His will, you're free, because everything you want to do is what He wants to do. And He gets what He wants. You see that? So you want freedom? Freedom comes from putting the Word in you, abiding in Him, and Him abiding in you. Wow. This is good stuff. Ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Okay, notice, disciple is a learner and a follower. If you can't learn from Jesus and you can't follow Him and you're all caught up in an idolatrous institution with an idolatrous leader in the Nicolaitan era, who thinks he's the head of the church, listen, you're not going to bear fruit. And you're not going to be a disciple. Preachers are not to make disciples of themselves. They're to make disciples of Jesus. They're to point you to the Word, to show you how you should be a disciple, a learner, and a follower of Jesus. Oh, this is so good. It's good stuff. And it's everything is in Christ. Everything is in Christ. Everything you need is in Him. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Wow. Every spiritual blessing. And as I've pointed out before, a spiritual blessing is not necessarily not a physical blessing. It's a spiritual blessing. It's a blessing from the Spirit and in the Spirit. God wants you to have all of your needs met. My God shall supply your every need according to His riches and glory. He wants your needs met. Spiritual, physical, emotional. He wants your needs met. And as you see, if you put the word in your heart, you can have whatever you ask. If you abide in Him and you put the word in your heart, you can ask whatever you want and it will be done. Because what you want is what He wants. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So you want to know where heavenly places are? They are in Christ. Notice, He hath, which is past tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, which are what? In Christ. When you abide in Christ, you have every spiritual blessing. You have your needs met. God has put it there. You must go there to get it. Many people want to live outside of Christ. They want to walk outside of Christ. They want to think outside of Christ. And wonder why in the world God does not do these things that He says in His Word He will do. Because these things are in the heavenly places. You can't walk on the earth, spiritually speaking, walk on the earth and walk in heavenly places at the same time. You're walking worldly and earthly, or you're walking heavenly. If you're in Christ, you're walking in heavenly places because He is a heavenly place. And when you abide in Him, you can have what you need because that's where it's provided. It's not provided outside of Him. He hasn't given it to you. Remember, and to the seed, which is Christ. A seed as of one, not as of many. So the people who say, if He gives you a gift, He can't take it back. He doesn't have to take it back. When you step out of Him, you lose it. You're abiding in Him. First of all, through your faith. And second of all, through your actions. Because faith without works is dead. First of all, when you walk by faith in Him, you have all these promises. Because that's abiding in Him too. Walking by faith in Him, that's abiding in Him. You have all these promises. They're yours. If you're in willful rebellion, you know the only promise that you have is Hebrews 10:26. If we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. There's your promise. If you're outside of Him, you're walking outside of Him, what promise do you have? God's going to whip you. That's His promise. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. You see, you weren't an afterthought at all. He had you in mind before Adam ever fell. Did He know Adam was going to fall? Yes. But He chose you in Him, meaning you. He knew you needed a Savior, and He provided that Savior before Adam ever fell. Why did God go on with the process? Because fallen people who are saved have a great appreciation for God, and they know what's wrong with the world. They've tried it, they've failed, and they understand that God has provided better. God doesn't want ignorant people. He wants people that are trained. Let me tell you, the fall is a training. Yes, He knew about the fall. We're not in plan B. We're in plan A. God doesn't make plan Bs. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be. He wants you to be something. Be holy and without blemish before Him in love. He wants you to be this. This is not something that God just, it's not hocus pocus. The reason we abide in Him is to have His holiness and to be without blemish. And if you put the word in there, it will empower you to walk this way. If you starve your spiritual man, you will die. He has to be fed. He needs the Word of God to be fed. He is created out of the Word of God. holy and without blemish before Him in love, having foreordained us unto adoption as sons. Oh, glory to God. And it's as sons, it's not as servants. We don't start out as sons. We can start out as children. And Paul, in Galatians, said that if you're a child, you're a servant, but not a son. You know the difference between a servant and a son? A servant serves because he has to. A son serves because he loves his father. He wants to serve his father. He wants to progress his father's kingdom. He wants to do that. And God has to give you a change of nature to be that kind of a person, that you don't want to offend your father. You don't care who's looking or who's not looking. You want to serve your father. He foreordained us unto adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Look at that. He freely bestowed his grace in the beloved, in whom, again, we have our redemption. Your redemption is in Christ. Abide there by faith and by the works that come from your faith. Because faith without works is dead, right? I will show you my faith by my works. You can't prove you have faith unless you have works that agree with those with that faith. In whom we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, making known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in him. There it is again. Unto a dispensation of the fullness of times, to sum up all in Christ. Things wasn't there. There's no numeric pattern in it. It should be italicized always. And it's not always italicized, but it should be, because it's not there in the Greek. To sum up all in Christ, in the heavens and upon the earth. In him, I say, in whom also we were made a heritage. In him we were made a heritage. Foreordained. Now, we're going to find out who was foreordained and who wasn't. Having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who worketh all after the counsel of his will. To the end that we should be unto the praise of his glory. We who had before hoped in Christ, in whom ye also, having heard the word of the truth, notice that, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Be sure to receive that, because you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, which is the earnest of our inheritance. You want the supernatural inheritance that God gives to his sons? Remember, his son, Jesus Christ, received the Holy Spirit that came upon him. Was he saved before that? Well, sure he was. So is everybody. God doesn't give the Holy Spirit to unsaved people. He won't put the Holy Spirit in an unclean vessel. The Holy Spirit whom God hath given to them that obey him, unto the redemption of God's own possession, unto the praise of his glory. So we have to abide in him to receive this awesome provision that God has offered. And one of the most important things to be in him, 1 John 1, I'm going to read 5 through 10. And this is the message which we have heard from him and announce unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. You want to know what part of you is not in him? That part that's in darkness. It's not a part of him. He is only light. Think about that. He is only light. There's no darkness in Him. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Okay, well, you know what darkness is. It's according to the prince of the powers of this world, right? It's darkness. He delivered you out of the power of darkness. In Christ, He delivered you out of the power of darkness. If you walk in that darkness, either you don't know that, or you don't believe that, or your lusts have just drawn you away. Okay? If we say that we have fellowship with Him, because people say, well, I heard somebody say the other day, they're taking Jesus with them, but I knew where the guy was going, and I knew he wasn't going with him. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, now let's see, how is He in the light? He walks in the truth. He walks according to the Word. Now, ignorance is an excuse in the kingdom, because there's lots of things you don't know about, and God doesn't hold it against you. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now that's a good deal, because God doesn't hold against you everything that the Old Testament held against you in that covenant. It was a very hard covenant. This is a good news covenant, okay? He don't hold your ignorances against you. But some things you really can't claim to be ignorant of, because your conscience tells you differently. And he does hold you accountable to your conscience. So if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Here's another thing. Okay, if you don't love your brother, you don't love him. That's what he says. You don't love your brother whom you can see, you don't love God whom you can't see. He said, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So, if you're not abiding in Him, if you're not having fellowship with one another, there's no communion between light and darkness. There should be none. You read the Word to find out what is light and what is darkness. And he said, if they have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof, from such turn away. That's darkness. That's darkness. You don't want to walk there. You can't have fellowship with Him walking there. You're going to grow just so far, and you'll never grow past that, because if you try to grow past that, those people will chasten you. They'll ostracize you. You have to go somewhere where you can grow into the image of Jesus, where people believe that that's what you're supposed to do, bear fruit of Jesus, right? But notice that if you have fellowship with Him, and you have fellowship with one another, the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If you don't get along with your brothers, if you don't have peace with your brothers, one of you don't have the right spirit. Or maybe both of you. But if you have unforgiveness, you're unforgiven. That's what Jesus said. If you're holding bitterness and unforgiveness, and you're criticizing your brother, not believing that God saved him just like he saved you, that he reconciled him just like he reconciled you, if you're not having faith for your brother, you're not going to have faith for yourself. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. That's, of course, if you're doing a sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, this is the most important thing. You have to stay confessed up, or you're going to fall away. The burden of sin will overwhelm you. It has to be gotten rid of. The very nature of it needs to be washed out of you. If you're too proud to do this, you're going to fail. You're going to fall away. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins. Notice the if there. Pay close attention to that. Circle this verse. It's the most important verse to continue to walk with God. Okay. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write unto you that you may not sin. Aha! So here's a way to stop sin. First, cleanse yourself of all unrighteousness by confessing your sin. How are you going to not sin if you've got unrighteousness? You need to be cleansed of unrighteousness by confessing your sin in order to not sin. Unrighteousness is what causes sin. So we're talking about the very nature of sin, not this thing that's floating around out there that you have done that's held against you. It is in you. My little children, these things I write unto you that you may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's our lawyer, right? He's our paraclete, our helper. Because that's what this word is, paraclete. You know, it's the same word used for the Holy Spirit. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. He is the covering for our sins. That's when you're ignorant, when you've failed, and you're grieved about it, you have this covering. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Anybody that wants can come. However, when you want to come, it's because God worked in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. You didn't choose me, I chose you. That's what He says. And hereby we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar. The truth is not in him. Okay. Wow. I think I'm going to read just a little bit of Revelation chapter 2 to you. It's also talking about falling away. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, Revelation 2 and 1, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, he that walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy toil, and thy patience, and that thou canst not bear evil men. Well, we shouldn't bear them either. And didst try them that call themselves apostles. Oh, gosh. People that fall away because of their pride and so on and so forth. So many of them are calling themselves prophets and apostles. There's just jillions of them out there. But we need to test them. They need to have the signs of an apostle. Thou didst try them that call themselves apostles, and they are not. And didst find them false. And thou hast patience, and didst bear for my name's sake, and hast not grown weary. People get tired, they get weary. They don't keep their eyes on the Lord and His promise, which has got to pick you up. It just gives you courage, it gives you faith. Keeping your eyes on Jesus, your eyes on the promise that He's made, right? Don't get weary, because the devil likes to wear you down, and pretty soon you're falling away. He said, but I have this against thee, that thou didst leave thy first love. Yeah, many people started out really in love with Jesus, wanting to know about Jesus. Before you know it, they've been sidetracked by these false apostles or false pastors or false leaders. Remember, therefore, whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Notice, the first works were you wanted to know what it was to please the Lord. You wanted to know how to obey the Lord. But, sadly, you probably didn't read enough of the book to find out what a church looked like, so you went to one that you thought was a church, and you got led astray and wasted a whole bunch of time. You know what I mean? Remember, therefore, whence thou art fallen. Repent and do the first works. In other words, go back to being obedient to the Lord when you entered into Christ. Before you found out you didn't have to be obedient from these charlatans, right? Or else I come to thee and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Well, now there you go. That's a falling away, removing your candlestick out of its place. He's the one who stands in the midst of the candlesticks, right? He's the one that keeps your wick lit. You have to have fellowship with Him, right? And He is the Word. The best way to pray, folks, is when you read the Word, you see something you like, you pray it, you know. You can read the Word and pray at the same time. Every time you run across something you know you need, anywhere you lack, anywhere you see a promise, stop and pray. Stop and pray. Amen. So, pray and repent, right? But this thou hast, that thou hatest the work of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. The Nicolaitans, by the way, started out, I would say, with a priestly order like the Old Testament, where this priest was between you and God, and that's what Catholicism started doing, that this priest was over the church and between you and God, and so on and so forth. And the Protestants picked it right up because they didn't fall far from the tree, right? They picked it right up, and the pastor is now the head of the church, which is nothing more false in the whole scriptures, you know, than that. This is the Nicolaitan error, which he said he hated. And he said he was glad that these people hated it too. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh, to him will I give to eat of the tree of life. Oh my goodness, you know. Between Adam and the tree of life was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, he failed that test. And he had to be removed from the garden lest he eat of the tree of life. So we who have been born again have the power to do something with the knowledge of good and evil. The lost, the natural, don't have that. We have that. Therefore, we're to study the knowledge of good and evil in the scriptures. Not necessarily what men say, but in the scriptures. We're to study it and to know it. And to him that overcometh, meaning they've studied it, they know it, and they're obeying it, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst, in the paradise of God. Oh, thank you, Father. All right. Thank you so much for joining us today, folks. Father, bless us, O God, in Jesus' name. Bless us, Father. Pour forth of your Spirit upon us. Lord, let us take your exhortations and act upon them. Lord, let us pray to you, because you're willing always to give us grace and to give us favor if we will repent and humble ourselves, confess our sins, and ask you. And Lord, many people don't spend any time asking you, and so they get what they ask for, right? You have not because you ask not. Well, okay, Father, thank you for having mercy upon us, O God, delivering us from evil, giving us your awesome grace. Amen. Thank you, saints. Bless you. Bye-bye.